News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, a new poll for the British Nutrition Foundation has found that over a third of parents always or often make their children eat everything on the plate. Joining us to discuss this is Sarah Keogh, dietitian and founder of Eat Well. Sarah, experts are warning this could fuel obesity, this idea you have to eat everything on the plate. Do you agree?
It can be a factor. I mean, obesity has so many different causes, but one of the problems with always forcing a child to clear the plate is it makes them ignore their natural sensation of feeling full. And we've a huge issue, certainly in Ireland, where we very often give children portions of food that are too big. And then, you know, in some cases, we force them then to eat that. So their natural regulation is getting overruled. And I know when I'd be working with adults, one of the things that we often try and do is get them to start paying attention to that natural full feeling and to drop this idea that you have to clear the plate all the time.
How do you know when your child actually is full or is just kind of being picky and doesn't want to eat that?
Well,
or do you have to just trust them and let them decide?
There is a little bit of trust, and there's a little bit, I mean, there's, you know, I have two kids, you know, getting them through eating and all the rest can be a little bit complicated. But what you're looking at is, have they eaten sort of a reasonable amount of each thing on the plate, you know, and are they, you know, finished that they're not looking for food 5 minutes later? So the child just kind of eats three mouthfuls, walks away, and then they're coming back looking for something else later. Okay, probably didn't eat enough. But most kids, if they've kind of eaten maybe, you know, half, two thirds of what's on the plate, they're kind of like, look, I'm pretty much done. And you see it in kids where they slow down, where they're kind of starting to just mess with the food on the plate a little bit. That's usually just a sign that they're finished and you can just let it go there. And I would really encourage parents who are making kids clear their plate to have a good look at portion sizes. You know, Safe Food had a fantastic campaign there a few years ago looking at the fact that we tend to give children more food than they need. You know, a five-year-old needs less than half the dinner of an adult. You know, so it's really about checking those portion sizes before you're sort of making them sort of finish with it. But a lot of kids will, you know, if they're kind of come to the end of the meal and there's a couple of mouthfuls left, and like, are you really I'm full, I think you can just let it go at that point.
Sound advice. Sarah Keogh, dietitian, founder of Eat Well. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.
Now, Irish people are the most optimistic citizens in Europe. That's according to a quality of life survey. The survey also found that Irish people are among those with the highest life satisfaction. But maybe we always knew that we were the happiest and the best crack. Joining us to discuss these findings and more is Pete Lunn, founder and head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit. Pete, were you surprised by us being, you know, optimistic and having kind of a good satisfaction with life?
It may not sit well with everyone in the middle of January, but it's true. We are always counted as one of the more optimistic nations and one of the happier nations. So it doesn't surprise me. No, there's a history of this.
And do we know why? Because that's what people will want to know.
So it's really tempting to kind of relate these things to sort of lazy national stereotypes, and people have a habit of doing it. It's all about the crack and going to the pub and that kind of thing. But I'm afraid not, no. The evidence would suggest that really it's more to do with having a younger population, particularly having an educated population. So one of the things that makes you much more likely to be optimistic in your life is being well educated. That's probably because it gives you a sense of agency over your life. It makes you feel like you have choices and, you know, you can direct your life rather than it being imposed upon you, if you like.
That's really interesting. So, and we do have, everyone always describes having a young educated population. So is it as simple as demographics? There must be other nation states that have, you know, very well educated, even if they are a bit older, that kind of thing?
No, it's not as simple as that. There are many, many factors. So I'm just telling you that age and education are two of the more powerful ones. Other factors are also how happy people are. People who are happy are more likely to be optimistic. Now, you wouldn't want to lose the running yourself here, though. I mean, the question is, I am optimistic about my future, and do you agree or disagree? Now, it is only 49% of us. That's the highest in Europe, but that still means 51% are not optimistic about their future, but we're still the highest in Europe. But there are many factors.
I like that you're a glass half full in this, being quite optimistic.
Well, the glass is pretty much half and half on optimism, but that's high. I mean, the European average is only 34% and we're up there at 49.
No, but I was saying the way you're framing it, going, even though we're only 49, we're still the highest. And I was going, well, I'm glad that you're framing
it. One of those optimistic people. Now, here's the basic stats of optimism. 80% of the population generally is more optimistic than reality. So we can measure their real outcomes and what they think, how well they think they're going to do in life. And 80% of us are systematically optimistic about our own outcomes. About 10% of us are realists, and about another 10% are systematic pessimists, you don't want to be one of those people because they suffer from worse mental health. So
okay.
being a sunny optimist makes you happier even though you're wrong. And I am one of those people. I fully accept that.
Yeah, I'm interested, and I think I fall into this category too, and I feel kind of lucky that I do, but there's that, the optimism coming out of me, because I do think there's something about viewing the glass being half full as a good thing. But you were saying that younger people are more optimistic, but younger people aren't necessarily happier. So are those two things not fully linked?
Yeah, they are not fully linked. So there's a correlation there, but they're not fully linked. Younger people tend to be happier than middle-aged people. So there's generally a U-shaped relationship for happiness. Middle-aged people are the least happy people in society. People in their 60s are the happiest, and younger people are a bit happier than middle-aged people. But that's actually changing over the last couple of decades. Younger people are becoming less happy in the last couple of decades, which is a problem and is having an impact on their mental health.
And do we know why that is? I mean, we hear things like social media, and I don't even know what we hear, but and we also do hear that the next generation is going to be poorer than their predecessors and all of those things. Is that what's feeding in here into these stats?
The honest answer as a behavioural scientist is that we don't know.
Okay.
There is a school of thought that does relate the decline in mental health among young people to social media and to digital device use, but that's controversial. There are also researchers who don't believe that, and the jury's out. I mean, people are trying to analyse data now.
They always
say
comparison is the thief of joy. I would think comparison is quite a strong driving sort of impetus on social
media. That's a really good question. So that's another theory, actually, that it's not the device usage or the use of social media. It's that the world has been shrunk by the digital revolution. So people are using different comparators. Instead of comparing themselves with others in their local communities, they're comparing themselves with super rich people who live in, you know, fantastic climates
and airbrushed elsewhere. People so, and all of that
yes,
nonsense.
Yes, absolutely. So there may be some truth in that. But at the moment, scientists are trying to get to the bottom of why this is, that this decline in mental health among young people has occurred, and we don't absolutely know.
And maybe lastly, because I'm looking for sort of praise here in a way as an Irish person, if we discount age and if we discount education, are we still more optimistic? Are we just inherently a bubbly people?
I wouldn't say inherently a bubbly
people. I want to hear
people.
Yes here, just because I do.
I know you do, and I am a sunny optimist, but I'm also a scientist, so I've got to tell you what I think is true.
Okay,
go on. One of the really interesting things here is that the Nordics as well always do really, really well. And I think the truth of the matter is, if you want to be an optimistic nation and you want to be a happy nation, being fairly small, being cohesive, and probably being a social democracy with decent trust in government, and actually we do have that compared to other countries, is probably what you really want.
Oh, okay, so all the sort of the people on Twitter were like,
so we're
this
not,
country's
we're not a
joke.
Dump after all, then.
Indeed, not.
We're not a kip.
We're not a kip.
On that note, on that optimistic note, thank you very much to Pete Lunn, founder and head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit. I'm feeling quite chipper. Shane?
Yeah.
But I always am,
really,
I'm Irish.
Really interesting research.
Yeah.
I'm also very optimistic that we will be back in the morning from 7 o'clock.
Oh,
Kira.
That's tempting fate now.
News Talk Breakfast with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.